Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Meb. Before we start today's teaching, I want to thank everyone that prayed for my father, who on Wednesday had a eye surgery. He's doing good. Thank you for praying. Keep on praying. I'm continually amazed at this 91-year-old man. He's a blessing to all who know him, especially to us.
Amen.
And our children. Let's talk about today's lesson of don't be a spiritual criminal.
Woo!
A sin is anything that hinders or separates you from a divine relationship with your Heavenly Father. A sin is ignoring, not understanding, claiming, or manifesting the promises of God in your life. A sin is making a decision in ignorance when all the facts are available. It is a sin to violate the laws of God. Even if our earthly father sat on the court of law, he could not let us off, no matter how much he wanted to, if we were guilty. How much more and fair and just is our Heavenly Father, and how much more he wants to bless us, even more than the most loving earthly father could ever be.
For instance, God has set into place the law of seed time and harvest, as described in Genesis 8, verse 22. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap, as it says in Galatians 6, verse 7. Give, and it shall be given unto you, as it says in Luke 6:38. It is clear that if we don't give, we will not receive. God has provided everything we need, and it would be a violation of God's word, and that is sin. I think everyone would agree that robbery is a sin. It violates God's law, and it certainly violates man's laws too. In our society, we clearly understand that robbers pay for their crimes. It is a consequence to their crime, and it is a sin as well. Have you ever robbed anyone? I'm sure everybody said, are you kidding? Never. But it says, how will a man rob God? He does so in tithes and offerings, and is described in Malachi 3, verse 8.
You know, honey, that seems pretty straightforward to me. The word says that if we're not tithing, we're robbing God. If we aren't giving offerings, we're robbing God. If we're robbing God of tithes and offerings, that makes us, if you will, spiritual criminals. I guess this is a good place for us to ask you a question. Are you a consistent tither? Has there ever been a time when you didn't tithe or you stopped tithing for a short period of time? If a person, a robber, takes what doesn't belong to him or her every once in a while, does that make them any less of a thief? If the robber only steals when he or she needs money or wants money, does that make them any less of a thief? If you ever watched a courtroom or a television program about criminals, you know the first thing the defense attorney wants to know is that the criminal as an alibi. Dictionary.com defines alibi as an excuse to avoid blame. The attorney will use his or her client. Well, they will advise them whether or not they have a good alibi. By a good alibi, I mean the kind that will stand up in court and get them off the hook. You have an alibi for not tithing and giving off. Will it stand up in the court of heaven? Would God accept it on judgment day? Is the word of God based on your view, your circumstances, or what the word says? In our society, if a robber steals from others because he doesn't have a job, it may get the sympathy of the jury, but will not make him or her any less of a thief or less in the punishment. No, when thieves are caught, they are punished.
And how much more so in the Word of God. In Malachi 3, verse 8, Malachi 3, 8, in the Classic Amplified Bible, it says it this way. Will a man rob or defraud God? Yet you rob and defraud me. But you say, in what way do we rob and defraud you? You have withheld your tithes and offerings. Now, not tithing or giving offerings for any period of time, unfortunately, makes you a robber. Malachi 3:8 does not say, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Unless, of course, you need the money to pay basic living expenses because you might have lost your job or because your car got repossessed, or in which case it may not be really stealing from God. He'll most certainly understand.
Honey, that's amazing the way you worded that. There are basic laws that govern the universe and our lives as believers, all put in place by God. These laws and scriptural principles are not conditional or based on our interpretation of a particular situation. Gravity works for an unsuspecting child as well as for a jumper off the Brooklyn Bridge. In our society, if a person violates a local, state, or federal statute, then they're guilty, and that makes them a criminal. I heard Dr. Maura Cirillo say years ago that all truth is parallel in the natural and the spiritual. If we violate the laws and principles of God, then we are spiritual criminals. Now, the good news is God forgives us of all our sins. And not only that, he forgets them as well.
In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, a sin being anything that separates us from the will of God, then it means that in the natural world, if you're convicted of a crime or a sin, it is often held against you and hinders your ability a lot of times to get a job or to get ahead. And your record will follow you all the days of your life. However, that's not, praise be to God, the way it is in God's kingdom.
Hallelujah.
When we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to not just forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of any and all unrighteousness, but after they're forgiven, our sins are cast into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered or recalled against us again. And that is something to shout about.
Hallelujah. It certainly is. One further point. The scripture says that he will forgive us of all unrighteousness. As we've said for years, to be unrighteous, you must have first been righteous. There may have been a time when you tithed and gave offerings. You knew and practiced the word, but for whatever reason, you stopped. Perhaps it was because of a change in your economic situation, a frustration at not seeing the manifestation of a harvest. Whatever the reason, you stopped tithing and giving offerings. The word says, stopping your giving is a sin. It is good news to be forgiven for not tithing and giving offerings. But it's great news. The great news is what happens when you do obey his word, his law, and his promises.
In Malachi 3:10, here is the promise. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and you are a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You know, honey, the point of it is this. When we withhold our tithes and our offerings, we are only hurting ourselves.
That's true. It really is.
When we do what God says, when we give our tithes and offerings, then we're positioning ourselves for the blessing of God, which is like a mega harvest from our Heavenly Father. Praise the Lord. There's only one way, one place in Scripture where God says, prove me or put me to the test. and it's in Malachi when it comes to giving and receiving.
That's so true. When we give tithes and offerings, He opens the windows of heaven.
Hallelujah.
That means if you're not giving tithes and offerings, then the windows of heaven are closed over you and your life. It's a choice that God clearly allows us to make. Give, and He'll open the windows of heaven and pour you, not somebody else. He'll pour you out a blessing. There shall not be room enough to receive it. Hallelujah. Now, we don't know about you, but we got some pretty big rooms in our house. And even if we only had a one-room shack, that'd still be a lot of blessings.
Amen. You know, listen to Malachi 3:10 and how it reads in the Message Bible. It's really cool. It says, test me in this and see if I don't open up heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams.
My wildest dreams, my baby's wildest dreams. Let me tell you, God made us dreamers. Believers, honey, who take Him at His word. What are our wildest dreams? What are your wildest dreams? Let's say that. What are your wildest dreams? Would you like to see them manifested? Then obey the word of God. Be a tither and a giver, not a robber, spiritual criminal, or a sinner.
And let me say one other thing here. You know, some people will say to you, well, you know, that's Old Testament law. Listen, tithing and offerings came before the law. It was set in motion by Abraham when he met up with Melchizedek and said, I will give this unto you. And you need to go back and read those scriptures to understand that tithing was something that was instituted well before the law for our benefit.
Yes.
For our benefit,
and
not against us.
There are people who say, well, it's not in the New Testament. Yes, it is. Matthew 23:23, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you tithe and that ought to be done. Now, the word, the Greek word there for ought is die, D-E-I, and it means must. That's the same Greek word used over in 1 Peter where it says men ought to pray. Men must pray. So it's not an option. It's there in the scripture. And if you want to learn more about that, go to haroldheron.com. And up at the search engine, type New Testament tithing. There's a teaching about that. And it'll bless you. Hallelujah. Speaking of blessing you, you bless us.
Amen.
Thank you for your support of the ministry. Thank you for joining us every day. And if you've been blessed by this teaching, go to haroldheron.com and ask Him what seed He'd have you sow. Check out this week's 2-minute video. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.